This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. My dear respective beloved brothers and sisters who have attended this class today, as announced, what we hope to inshallah ta'ala accomplish in this short sitting is how one can really go about rectifying and softening his heart. Why do we give a lot of concern to this topic or to this kind of mawdu', this kind of discussion? As everybody is aware, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us for one sole purpose. We've probably heard this verse a million times, and for a million and one time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and also the human being, the ins, except to worship me alone. So we take from this verse that our sole reason of existence is none other than the fact that we need to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best possible manner. We weren't created for education. We weren't created to work. We weren't created for anything other than to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having said that, does that mean one doesn't pursue an education? He doesn't search for that which will give him a livelihood? La. The point that I'm trying to drive home is our sole reason of existence is none other than to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the main point as to why we breathe, or the main reason as to why one breathes. Anything other than that is secondary. It is not the primary reason of our existence. And that's why it becomes a problem. If any of these things are affecting our sole reason of existence, then we really need to think twice as to how we are living our lives. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, الدنيا ملعونة ملعون ما فيها إِلَّا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَتَاهُ وَعَالِمًا أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا أَوْ مَا وَلَهُ وَعَالِمًا أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا. This whole dunya is cursed and everything in it is cursed. And there were a few things that were exempted. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who studies, the one who learns his religion, and the one who goes and teaches it. طيب, this is not our discussion today. So we now have established that our sole reason of existence is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question that I would like to pose, is it possible for one to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly without knowledge? Is that something that's a possibility, brothers? It's not. Otherwise we will become like who? Christians, right? The Christians who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to in the Quran as وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Right? Those who are misguided. They decided to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala however they willed. So we have to what? Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon basira, upon insight. Now, the second point is the importance of knowledge. Why it is essential for an individual to learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you cannot fulfill your sole reason of existence except by studying. Cannot fulfill it accordingly. طيب, moving on now to the discussion at hand. Is it possible now for one to really attain beneficial knowledge and his heart is stained with ma'asi, with sins, and that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi mentions. And this clearly shows us why نَحْنُ نَهْتَمُّ بِمُعَالَجَةِ الْقَلْبِ. Why we give a lot of concern to rectifying the heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. He says, فَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ إِذَا كَانَ رَقِيقًا لَيِّنًا كَانَ قَبُولُهُ لِلْعِلْمِ سَهْلًا يَسِيرًا. If an individual's heart is soft and tender, the ilm will find it extremely easy entering into his heart. And then he says, وَرَسَخَ الْعِلْمَ فِيهِ وَأَثَّرَ وَثَبَتْ. The ilm will solidify itself in this individual's heart. It will influence it. It will have a huge positive effect on that individual's heart. That's when his heart is pure. Common question that people tend to ask from time to time is, even in the month of Ramadan, I'm really, really struggling to recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm really, really struggling to taste the sweetness of the Quran. We'll speak about it inshaAllah ta'ala in a moment. And then Ibn Taymiyyah goes on to say, وَأَمَّا الْقَلْبُ إِذَا كَانَ قَاسِيًا غَلِيظًا كَانَ قَبُولُهُ لِلْعِلْمِ صَعْبًا عَسِيرًا. But if his heart now is rigid, it's become hard, the ilm will find it extremely difficult entering into this individual's heart. And a statement that is similar to this is the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he said, إِنَّمَا يَحْفَظُ الْمَرْءُ عَلَى قَدْرِ نِيَّتِهِ. One, in accordance to how sincere he is, in accordance to how the state of his heart is, this is how much of memorization he will be able to accomplish. So now when this individual now has purified his heart, what is it that happens? Look what Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned. He said, مَنْ طَهَّرَ قَلْبَهُ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِي كَانَ أَفْهَمَ لِلْقُرْآنِ. Whoever purifies his heart from sins, this person will have a better understanding than others when it comes to the Quran. Say that again. مَنْ طَهَّرَ قَلْبَهُ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِي كَانَ أَفْهَمَ لِلْقُرْآنِ. Whoever purifies his heart from sins, it will be that individual who will have a better understanding than others when it comes to the Quran. And then he says, وَمَنْ تَنَجَّسَ قَلْبُهُ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَانَ أَبْعَدَ فَهْمًا عَنِ الْقُرْآنِ. And whoever's heart now becomes stained, comes impurified with sins, this is an individual who will be more distant than others when it comes to understanding the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm sure every single one of us can wish or wishes to open the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he can sit there for hours on end. When we hear the stories of the Salaf and how they used to finish the Quran every 3 days, or maybe in the month of Ramadan, they would finish it once or twice every single day. Is it really rocket science to understand how they were able to do that? And then putting that in, and then putting that into perspective with the situations that we find ourselves in. These were the most righteous of people who really gave a lot of time to safeguarding their hearts from the different sins that they may have been exposed to. Just look at how the tables have turned. Today an individual, is he giving more time in rectifying his outer appearance, or is he working more on his heart? Ask yourself the question. How many hours does one spend in the gym? 8 hours? 9 hours? MashaAllah, he's so strong that he can even bend the bar. By the way, I don't have anything against brothers to go to the gym. If anything, being healthy is good. However, if your sole focus now becomes rectifying the outer appearance, and then you forget about that which is most important, then surely you are at a loss. Right? And then you have our sisters likewise, who might spend 4 or 5 hours in front of the mirror a day, rectifying the outer appearance. Automatic ayah. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the authentic hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَادِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَإِلَىٰ أَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your outer appearance and what color you are and how your body looks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at that. But rather, that which He does look at is your heart and also your actions. These are the two things that matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no matter how many hours you spend in the gym or in front of the mirror, perfecting the way you look, at the end of the day, if you don't use that which Allah azza wa jal has blessed you with, that strong body that you've now acquired, for that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in reality you're at loss. You may be able to pick up 180 kilos, 190 kilos. Are some of us strong enough to pick up that blanket that weighs 500 grams or 1 kilo? You can see now, the priorities are maybe what? In the wrong place. So the point I was trying to make, my beloved brothers and sisters, the heart is awla that we give more concern to. It's foremost that we give more concern to, none other than the heart. Because it is that which is in one's heart, and likewise that which portrays on one's limbs, that will enter you eventually into Al-Jannah. As Allah says in the Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day when one's kids and also his wealth will not be a benefit for him, except the one who meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart. And qalbin salim is the qalb that is not tainted with innovation and shirk, but rather he works hard in purifying his heart from what? Innovations, shirk and sins. Another powerful statement that I came across pertaining to rectifying the heart is the statement of Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab when he said, الاشتغال بتطهير القلوب أفضل من الاستكثار من الصوم والصلاة مع غش القلب. He says, prioritizing, purifying your heart is more virtuous than one having a lot of fasting and a lot of prayers, while at the same time his heart is tainted. His heart is stained. And then look what he says. لم يكن أكثر تطوع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه بكثرة الصوم والصلاة. He says, if you look at the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the companions, what was the majority of that which they used to engage in? Was it having a lot of voluntary prayers and psalm? Ibn Rajab says that was not the case. But rather, بل ببر القلوب وطهارتها وسلامتها. But rather, it was having a pious heart, purifying it and making sure that it is free from that which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقُوَّةِ تَعَلُّقِهَا بِاللَّهِ. And their hearts being so connected to none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, لَوْ طَهُرَتْ قُلُوبُنَا لَمَا شَبِعْنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا. If our hearts were pure, we would not have become bored of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi comments, he says, فَالْقَلْبُ الطَّاهِرِ لِكَمَالِ حَيَاتِهِ وَنُورِهِ وَتَخَلُّصِهِ مِنَ الْأَدْرَانِ وَالْخَبَائِثِ لَا يَشْبَعُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. He says, the heart that is pure, because of it now being so illuminated and enlightened, and due to the fact that it has cleaned itself from all types of filth and evil, this person can never become bored of the Quran. he will never be full. Also, Ibn Qudamah rahmatullahi alayhi, and I'll just, inshallah ta'ala, suffice with this one statement before I go into 10, 11, 12 things that one can engage in order to purify his heart. Because we all want to purify our hearts. This is the month, if we're going to introduce a good habit into our lives, the scene has been set. The doors of Jannah have been swung open. The doors of hellfire have been slammed shut. And the shayateen have been locked up. If there is a time where we can now introduce new habits into our lives, it's this month. It really, really is. Ibn Qudamah rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, من موانع فهم القرآن والتلذذ به. It says, from that which causes you to be deprived of understanding the Qur'an and tasting the sweetness of it. It says three things. It's more, of course, but he points out three things. Wallahi, if you really think about it, a lot of the sins that people fall into, it stems back to these three. Number one, he says, أن يكون مصرًا على الذنب. He persists in the sins that he carries out. Remember, or pay. He never said that this person who sins, because everybody sins, right? Everybody sins. And it may well be that you're somebody who errs all the time. And the Messenger of Allah, he said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَم خَطَّى. Every son of Adam is not just someone who makes a mistake or two, but rather he continuously keeps on making mistakes. That's something that is universal. Everyone falls into that, no matter who you think you are. But then what did he say? What makes you distinct now from everyone else? وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. The best of those who excessively sin are those who are always going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's one thing sinning once or twice. It's another thing now persisting on that sin, but at the same time running back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And it's another persistently sinning without repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Ibn Qudamah rahmatullahi alayhi is referring to when he said, أَنْ يَكُونَ مُصِرٌ عَلَى ذَنْبِ. He persists on that sin. Sometimes people think that there is no hope for them after having come, after having maybe drowned in the sins that they have been committing. The door of repentance is always open. No matter what you have fallen into, whether it is drug dealing, whether it is prostitution, whatever it might be, and I'm mentioning these examples as extreme examples, the door even for that kind of woman is open for her to knock on to seek repentance. As Allah told us in the Quran, and some of the scholars, they say if there was one verse in the Quran that shows the vast mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is this one. قُلْ سَيْتُنَا مُحَمَّدْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say to those who have transgressed against themselves, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Don't feel like, khalas, it's too late, I've done too much, I've oppressed so many people. That door is still open. That door is still open. And this Ramadan, it's a lifeline that Allah Azza wa Jal throws our way for us to really rid ourselves of some of the things that we have been getting ourselves involved in throughout the year. All the baggage that we are carrying. So the first thing that he said is, أن يكون مصرًا على ذنبٍ. He's someone who persists on the sins that he carries out. And he doesn't repent from it. He falls into it. He doesn't repent. He doesn't do what Allah Azza wa Jalla told him to do. So then he continues. He continues. And sometimes, and I'll point this out, right? One may feel hypocritical. And this is a trap from the shaitan. You've committed a sin and you repented, and then you've done it again. And then you repented and then you've done it again. It's by maybe the third time the shaitan is now whispering, this is extremely hypocritical. You keep doing the exact same thing because he does not want you to run back to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know what Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions? وَلَوْ أَلْفَ مَرَّةً. Even if you fall back into that sin 1,000 times. Don't stop repenting every single time. And praying the Salatul Tawbah, that which they call Salatul Tawbah. As the Messenger of Allah عليه وسلم said, مَا مِنْ عَمْدٍ يَذْنَبُ ذَنْبًا ثُمَّ يَتَطَهَّرُ. There's not a person who falls into sin and then he goes and purifies himself and then prays 2 units of salah. Except that Allah will forgive him. That is مِنْ أَبْغَدِ مَا يَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ. For you to go and do that, it's only a matter of time before the shaitan leaves you alone. Because he hates the salah. If one done that, even if you're addicted to a particular sin, whatever it may be, and addictions are on the rise as time goes on. SubhanAllah, just the other day, I was looking at statistics that were sent to me of which of the European countries are most addicted to adult content. It was America first and then the UK. It's on a rise. It's not just the non-Muslims. It's creeping into the Muslims as well. So no matter how many times you fall back into this addiction, sit down, cry your eyes out, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنْ يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ خَيْرًا يُؤْتِكُمْ خَيْرًا, as Allah says. If Allah sees that good in your heart, He will give you that good. And it's down to you to really show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no matter what that sin may be. How long do I have? Now we don't want to torture the brothers here and the sisters, huh? 20. I'll try inshallah ta'ala. I've never completed a 10 in any lecture. I've done it maybe twice or 3 times. I tend to sometimes get carried away. But inshallah, in today's class, in the next 35 minutes or so, I will try to go through all of them. Even if I don't expand on some of them, at least you know which way or which direction to go in and how to go about rectifying the heart. The first point, and it might be a good idea to have a pen and paper, unless you're like Imam Bukhari who's able to memorize everything that you hear. Number one, prioritizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all cases and doing righteous deeds. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi says, من أراد صفاء قلبه فليؤثر الله على شهوته. Whoever wants a pure, clean, soft heart, then let him always put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before his whims and desires. Brothers and sisters, at times you find your family members, your friends, inviting you to that which is extremely, extremely tempting. And you know that this is what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes the shaitan whispers and says, it's only once. You enjoy yourself a little bit, and then you always have what? Another opportunity to run back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's times like that. When you put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and you prioritize Him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you that softness in your heart. Wallahi, especially when it's extremely, extremely tempting. And one of my favorite hadith, which I believe changed my life, the first time I heard it was over, what, 12, 13 years ago. And I still can't remember who told me this hadith. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to reward him because he had such a huge impact in my life, on my life. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا اتِّقَاءً اللَّهِ إِلَّا عَطَاكَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٍ مِنْ. You don't leave something for the sake of Allah except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that which is better. Wallahi, I know at the beginning or the first time it might be very, very hard to leave that haram job or to leave that haram relationship. But see what happens when you let go. And yes, you will be tested. But it is only a matter of time that Allah Azza wa Jalla replaces that with far better. How many brothers did I tell this hadith to when they came to seek advice about the haram jobs or some of the haram elements in that which they were engaging in? couple of weeks, month or two later, they would come back and they would kiss me on the forehead, saying, I left my job and Allah Azza wa Jalla gave me that which is far better. And if I open this door now of discussing or going through all of the different incidents, I think we'll be here till tomorrow. Wallahi al-Azim. The amount of stories of brothers and sisters. So placing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And also that which is extremely, extremely important to mention is that which Ibn Taymiyyah said when he said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ كُلَّ مَنَ حَبَّ شَيْئًا لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَضُرَّهُ مَحْبُوبُهُ. He says, no, have knowledge of anyone who loves something besides Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning he prioritizes the love that he has for other than Allah Azza wa Jal over the Almighty, then it is only a matter of time that he is hurt and harmed by that. I'll give you guys an example that everybody can relate to. Brothers and sisters who have these haram relationships. What happens to a lot of them? What happens to a lot of them? And they have these haram relationships. After some time, they break up. And then she's left heartbroken. Sahih? And then she messages Abu Taymiyyah, please, how do I get over this heartbreak? And then we have to advise. Likewise, we find in workplaces, you know, you just have to ask so that you are given a place to pray. But do you think to yourself, if I do that, I might find myself in the bad books of the mudir, of the manager? Or you don't want to rock the boat, thinking that with this you are pleasing the creation and that they will treat you better? How often have I seen, right, that one prioritizes his job, his dunya, or whatever it might be, over that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing him with? And it's only a matter of time that he is what? He's left heartbroken as well. Either that dunya that he kept on chasing stabs him in the back, which the dunya does, and leaves you disappointed. That is the nature of the dunya. Or it's only a matter of time before him and his boss, they clash with one another. And he's given his marching orders. And you'll notice as well, subhanAllah, those who prioritize their deen, and they have that sit down with the manager or the supervisor, they are more respected in their workplaces. This is what we've noticed. This is because he prioritized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that hadith, subhanAllah, that always pops to mind when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and it's extremely, extremely powerful, من التمس رضا الناس بسخط الله سخط الله عنه وأسخط عن الناس. Whoever tries to please the people, and by that, he angers Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become angry, and he will make the people angry with him as well. Wallahi, there are living examples for this. And I'm sure most of us can relate to it. We've come across scenarios like that. Any relationship, my beloved brothers and sisters, that is based on ma'asi, just pleasing the people, right? It is only a matter of time before they clash with one another. You keep quiet because you don't want to upset him, when you know he's clearly doing something wrong. I take this as a principle. A statement of Ibn Taymiyyah when he said, وَالنَّاسُ إِذَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ أَبْغَضَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. When the people, they start cooperating in sin and evil, it's only a matter of time before they begin to really, really hate and despise one another. So next time you see your friend doing something that is wrong, maybe oppressing another, wronging another, right? And you don't say anything about it simply because you just want him to be pleased with you. It's a ticking time bomb. Before, this relationship now comes to an end. And that's with any relationship and with anything that you do involving sin. Its time is very limited. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, he also says,
وليس للقلوب سرور ولا لذة تامة إلا في محبة الله والتقرب إليه بما يحبه. He says, the heart will not experience that ultimate happiness and sweetness except by loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and drawing close to Him with that which He loves. And He says, it is not possible to really love Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَا تُمْكِنُ مَحَبَّةُ إِلَّا بِالْإِعْرَاضِ عَنْ كُلِّ مَحْبُوبٍ سِوَى. You cannot truly love Allah Azza wa Jal until you turn away from everything else that you love. And when I say that, my brothers and my sisters, right, what I mean by it is, and what the Shaykh means here as well, is prioritizing Allah. No one is saying that you can't love your family and your wife and your relatives. No. That type of love becomes a problem when it's now conflicting with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. You know, a lot of people, they message in from time to time saying how they're depressed, how they feel sad. They're suffering from an extreme type of agony. They feel so down. We've even heard some of these huge personalities, these YouTubers, right? I remember this brother called Zeeshan has a channel called Smile to Jannah. I think everyone or most brothers here have come across that, right? He one time compiled a video where he connected small little clips of a lot of these very well-known personalities, these YouTubers that many youngsters are taking as role models. And I remember sending this video to my little brother. It really touched him because he used to watch them as well. The likes of KSI, Logan Paul, Justin Bieber. I think these are household names, right? Very well-known names. And some of our elders, they may remember the Beatles. Sahih? Eh? These youngsters don't know. Huh? Yeah, they were a very, very well-known male music band, for those who remember. They weren't there in my time, but just heard about them. Right? فَعَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ All of them saying that which is almost as identical to one another. Saying how they're depressed, how they thought that money and fame would bring them happiness. And it's very well known and not hidden that they are living a life of sin. Sahih? And they're all saying that they are on antidepressants, and even that guy called Fusi Tube, he thought that the money and the fame would really bring them happiness. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's showing them that you will not be able to attain that ultimate happiness and experience that sweetness in your heart until you make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. The way your heart has been created, my brothers and my sisters, it craves for its creator. It craves for its creator. Reason why one may feel spiritually empty is simply because that connection is not there. There is a void. I remember in the lockdown, I worked for a short space of time. At the workplace, brothers would always come up to me and say, "Akhi, make dua for me, I feel empty. I really feel empty, I don't feel anything." Right? I would see him walking around after work, just walking around all day. Allah, just walking around. You can see his mind is not there. And it's not rocket science to really understand why he's feeling like that. The time when the salah kicks in at work, barely anybody prays. If you don't have the basic essentials, then how do you expect to really feel good? Again, it's a reminder Allah is sending to you that you really need to have that connection with none other than your Creator. And it's very, very simple. Right? Even a lot of these billionaires, just look at Bill Gates, was currently extremely sad, I suppose, right? Him and his wife both came out on social media saying that they're going to be separating with one another. I'll ask you guys a question. You think Bill Gates didn't have the money? I think everyone knows Bill Gates, by the way, right? Bill Gates is the one who created Microsoft, who for a very long time was the richest man on the face of this earth. But then he was overtaken by Jeff Bezos and also Elon Musk. Sahih? Are you telling me that he was not able to hire the most well-qualified or the most qualified marriage counselor? Doesn't have the money for that? Couldn't have done that, brothers? and sisters. But he's going through a separation. It's one thing going through a separation, is another people gossiping about you. That hurts. And this is all over the world now. It's being discussed on social media. You can imagine the pain that he's going through. I heard that she was the love of his life. They got to know one another very early on in his life, or something along the lines of that. And the longer you are with your spouse, the more hurtful it would be to separate. Right? Because there's an attachment that comes with it, and so on and so forth. My point is, are you telling me that he was not able to hire out the most well-qualified marriage counselor? Again, it's a message to him that no matter how much money you have, you will not be able to attain that ultimate happiness until you go back to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why you find a poor person who doesn't have much, but he has what? That spiritual contentment which money can't buy. But he's so satisfied, he's so content because he has Allah Azza wa Jal. That void in his heart is filled with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why you find those who are more obedient to Allah who are so much more happier than those who might be engaging in sin. Would you guys agree to that? Likewise, my brothers and sisters, when you think about it, right? Why do you think the sports industry is a $1 billion industry? The music industry is a $1 billion industry. The adult content industry is a $1 billion industry. Likewise, the drugs business. They call cocaine Britain's open secret. تعرفون هذا? I read up on these kind of things. It's very important. Huh? Britain's open secret. That's what cocaine is called. Who do you think is consuming it? The local junkie that you see rolling around at the bus stop at Fajr time? Only him? Actually, you have professionals consuming it. Just yesterday, I read an article by an MP, right? They took a picture of him and he had strips of cocaine next to him. Now he's in, I think, a mental hospital or something, in rehab or whatever. How rich is he? How much is he on a year-to-year basis? He's an MP. You have professionals who are earning a lot of money. They are what? On cocaine. Likewise, the games industry. Why is it such a lucrative majal industry? Alcohol, likewise. Especially the sports one. When someone doesn't find purpose in life, he looks to that which is going to distract his mind. And all of these are distractions that keeps your mind busy and occupied. I have a non-Muslim sister-in-law. Remember when we was in Egypt, around the COVID period, she came over. It's an opportunity to really stimulate her mind and give her da'wah, right? I asked her a question, just to really make her think. In your free time, what do you do? She says, I have to watch Netflix. So I said, okay, you finished with one. What do you do then? No, you have to watch another one. Why? She goes, if I don't watch it continuously, I will lose my mind. And this is the state of many of those who have distanced themselves from Allah. Free time can be very, very dangerous. That's where a lot of these rich people are going through depression. And eventually they commit suicide. Right? That void needs to be filled with something. And your only solution is your Lord. Free time can be extremely, extremely dangerous. And if you don't occupy your mind with something, that's why you have all of these different industries that are making money out of the sadness that people are going through. Do you guys agree with that? Sahih? Or am I waffling here? I know you probably came for a Islamic based lecture and we're going into all of these things. Huh? Look what Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi says. المعاصي والفساد توجب الهم والغم والخوف والحزن وضيق الصدر. Sins and corruption, it brings about distress, agony, pain, fear, sadness, and having a tightness in your chest. And also sicknesses of the heart. وَلَا دَوَاءَ لَهَا إِلَّا التَّوْبَةُ وَالِاسْتِخْبَارُ. It says there is no cure for it except repenting to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah. Look what Ibn Taymiyyah says. He says, وَلَا يَحْصُلُ الْمَرَضُ إِلَّا لِنَقْسِ أَسْبَابِ السِّحَةِ. When somebody becomes sick, it is normally because of him not looking after his health. Sahih? Maybe going outside after having taken a cold shower, right, and it's extremely hot, or vice versa. Sahih? Or maybe not eating properly and then he becomes sick. Having these oily foods in the month of Ramadan on an empty stomach can be detrimental. And it really caused my health to deteriorate as well. I was actually on my deathbed one time in Egypt because of that. So the point is, because of a naqs fi asbab as-siha, not doing that which is going to what? Preserve your health.
And look what he says. كَذَلِكَ الْقَلْبِ. And likewise, the heart is similar to that. لَا يَمْرَضُ إِلَّا لِنَقْسِ إِيمَانِهِ.
It doesn't become sick except after your iman goes down. SubhanAllah. Second thing, very, very quickly. مَعَامَلَةُ النَّاسِ بِاللُّطْفِ. Treating the people nicely and softly and gently. Right? Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ شَرْحِ الصَّدْرِ الْإِحْسَانُ إِلَى الْخَلْقِ. From that which causes your heart now to feel at peace is benefiting the creation and being good to them. بِمَا يُمْكِنُهُ مِنَ الْمَالِ وَالْجَاهِ. Whether it is with your wealth or whether it is because you have such a high, lofty position in society and you're able to intercede to help them out with something. وَالنَّفْعِ بِالْبَدْنِ. You might be someone who's extremely strong that is able to do things that maybe others can't do. And then he says, فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمَ الْمُحْسِنَ أَشْرَحُ النَّاسِ صَدْرًا. The one who's generous, this person, he is at most peace. Or at the most peace, should I say. Because of how generous he is. And it's not necessarily just generous with your wealth. A lot of time when you mention generous, the first thing that pops to mind is the wealth. Sahih? Doesn't necessarily just have to be that. Could be with the skills that Allah gave you, the position that Allah gave you. وَأَطْيَبُهُمْ نَفْسًا وَأَنْعَمُهُمْ قَلْبًا. And to conclude this point, he says, فَلَيْسَ الْقَلْبِ أَنْفَعُ مِنْ مُعَامَلَةِ النَّاسِ بِاللُّطْفِ. There's nothing more beneficial for the heart than treating the people nicely and loving good for them. وَحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَهُمْ. وَحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَهُمْ. Let me quickly just expand on this one point here. Loving good for the people. I'm sure most of us have heard of the hadith when the Prophet ﷺ said, one will not be a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. You may be a businessman who's successful. Sahih? But then subhanAllah, someone else wants to take that exact same path. But when you reached success, you went through many, many hurdles. There's a lot of problems that you faced. You may have made many losses on the way to your success. And you're probably thinking to yourself, you know what? He should basically go through that as well. And then he can reach whatever I reached. Loving good for that person, what does that entail? Give him the shortcut. And stop thinking that he's going to come and take from your provision. Because your provision and his provision is all written down. No matter what he does, he still will not be able to take from the provision that was always meant for you. See how you feel after that. The way society is, very, very hostile, sahih, toxic. Forget about not helping him. They start backbiting him, ripping into him, looking down on him and spreading things about him just so his reputation can be ruined. Sahih? really want to go into how the Messenger of Allah used to help the people, but time. Number three, غض البصر, lowering your gaze, is the third thing that will really soften up your heart. Lowering your gaze. Ibn Taymiyyah said, غض البصر عن محارم الله يورث حب الله. Lowering your gaze from that which is haram brings about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, my brothers and my sisters, and I'll quickly mention this, the month of Ramadan, it's the whole purpose behind us fasting in the month of Ramadan, to just stay away from food, drink, and sexual intercourse. And then after Ramadan, we go back to our ways. Right? Is that what Ramadan is all about? And I'm not saying it has to be your bad ways that you go back to. No, you just go back to your normal ways. You may not necessarily have been engaging in haram, but you just go back to your just normal, jolly day that you used to have. Is that what Ramadan and fasting is all about? When you look at the term siyam, it means linguistically to withhold. And then technically, it means to stay away from two types of things. Number one, that which is going to nullify your fast, which most people are aware of, food, drink, sexual intercourse, and all the other thing that breaks your fast. The second thing is, brothers, and this is the real type of fasting, to stay away from that which is going to destroy your reward. Jabir ibn Abdullah said, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَصُمْ سَمْعُكْ بَصْرُكْ وَلِسَانُكْ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَآثِمِ. When you do fast, then make sure your ears are fasting, eyes are fasting, your tongue is fasting. From what? عَنِ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَآثِمِ. From lying and also what? Sins. Ramadan is an institution, it's a madrasa. We take our kids to madrasa, right? 5 to 7. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Ramadan, is a training period for an individual now to better himself for after the month of Ramadan. We mentioned three body parts: the ears, the eyes, and also the tongue. Let me ask you all a question, and I really want you all to reflect on this, right? If you as a Muslim now safeguarded these three body parts, what kind of Muslim would you be? وَلِيٌّ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ. You would be a beloved saint of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because most of the sins that we see ourselves falling into, it originates from where? These three body parts. And this will help us attain that taqwa that we need to, which is our objective from asiyam. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may attain a taqwa, to be conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. And a taqwa, my brothers and my sisters, right? And يَجْعَلَ بَيْنُ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَخَفَ وِقَاعَةٍ تَقِيهُ مِنْ. That you place a shield between yourself and also that which you fear. On the battlefield, is anyone in his right mind going to walk around with his chest open like that? Come shoot me? Nah, he's going to what? Try and save his life. Kill the enemy and save himself. So this shield that we have is between that which we fear and ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. And this shield, my brothers, is fi'lu ta'ad wa ijtinabu al-manhiyat. To do what Allah told you to do and to stay away from what Allah told you to stay away from. And when you're fasting, it helps you do that. Sometimes you see people saying, "Akhi, I'm fasting, I don't want to say anything about him." After Ramadan, is that okay? No. Huh? But you can see he's trying in the month of Ramadan, but it's not just for the month of Ramadan or when you're fasting. It's an institution now to train you to become a better person. Likewise, when we fast, should we only be fasting in Ramadan, or does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to become from the awliya, the saints, his beloved servants, to continue fasting after the month of Ramadan? Likewise, the taraweeh. What does the taraweeh train us now to become? Min ibad al-Rahman. Wal-ladhin yabituna li-rabbihim sujjanan wa qiyama. From their characteristics, the awliya that is mentioned right at the end of Surah Al-Furqan, from their characteristics, they stand up in the night. Likewise, we give a lot of charity, we read a lot of Quran. Take all of that which I mentioned, and you've now made this a pivotal part of your life after the month of Ramadan. And then you continue this all the way till you die. You have become a very beloved servant of Allah. That's what Ramadan is all about. So now going back to the point that I was making, حِفْظُ al-basar, safeguarding your eyes from haram. Especially in today's day and age, wallahi, it's one of the, or should I say maybe even, and it won't be far-fetched to say this,
It is the root cause that one now is becoming corrupted. Sahih? Especially with the easy access of these gadgets. Where a child might be inside of the house and outside at the same time. The whole world has become like a small little village, exposed to all types of doubts that he reads, that his eyes come in contact with, or fusaq, evil, filthy people that one keeps on looking at, which then destroys his heart. And then all of a sudden he sees himself behaving like those who he has been watching, that he has become so desensitized to. Do you guys agree with that? Before there was a time, right, when we thought that the only way our children will become corrupted is them hanging around with the wrong crowd, sahih? We thought that was the only way. Them days are long gone because of social media. A young child keeps looking at this YouTuber or this influencer who is behaving and dressing inappropriately. And she keeps looking at it until she normalizes it. She becomes desensitized to it. And all of a sudden, you see her now dressing like that. When her mother always ever dressed her with the correct Islamic clothing. Kaif, how did that happen? All of a sudden, looking. That's why some of the scholars, they mention in the book, don't even look at someone who's lazy. Because how that will subconsciously creep within you. And all of a sudden, you'll see yourself becoming affected just because you kept on looking at it, let alone anything else. Ibn Jawzi, rahmatullah alayhi, he says, how often has he seen min al-muta'abbidina lillah, those who are devout worshippers of Allah Azza wa Jal, they lost their faith. They lost their iman, their faith. Their iman went down the drain. And that is because of what? What did it originate from? Itlaq al-basar. Looking at things, not lowering the gaze. So you want to really preserve and clean your heart? Hifdhul qalb. Right? Sorry, ghaddul basar. Lowering the gaze is aslu asil fi hifdhul qalb. There's so many other points as well. Number three is done. I will go on for another 7 minutes and then we'll stop. Yeah? Number four now, sahih? Al-afu. I normally mention this at point number 11. But I mention it now. Pardoning one another. Removing any grudges that you have in your heart towards your Muslim brother. Wallahi, my beloved brothers and sisters, I know it's not easy to forgive and pardon another for having wronged and oppressed you. Wallahi, it's not. And it makes sense as to why al-afu, pardoning others, is one of the three righteous deeds in our Sharia, in which the reward hasn't been limited to anything. The other one is patience, fasting, and the third is what? Al-afu. Hassan al-Basri, the great tabi'i, would wake up in the last third of the night, and we know how difficult it is to wake up in the last third. And if we did end up waking up, we would be what? Huh? Stingy with our time, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. I've only got 20 minutes and there's so many things that I need to ask Allah. Let me utilize that time. Great, no problem. That's your right. But you know what Hassan al-Basri would do? Raise his hands up to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahumma i'fu amman zalamani. He would utilize these few minutes that he has that are extremely precious. Oh Allah, forgive those who oppressed me. Look at the level of piety. Wallahi, look at that. And one day, a man walked past and he heard him saying that. And he was in shock. The next morning, he goes up to him and he says, تَمَنَّيْتُ أَنِّي كُنْتُ مِنْ ظَلَمَكَ. I began to wish that I oppressed you. Because of you making so much dua for them. Why are you doing this? Why? Lesh, I want to know the sir. He said, haven't you heard the statement of Allah? فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْرَحَ فَأَجْرُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever pardons, rectifies indeed his reward with Allah. You know, we're going to be begging Allah Azza wa Jal, especially in the last 10 nights, reading that dua. Allahumma innaka afoon, tuhibbu al-afwa, fa'afu anni. Everyone here has memorized it. What does it mean? Oh Allah, you are afu. You love to pardon, so pardon me. You know, Ibn Rajab rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, al-afu min asma'illah. Afu is from the names of Allah. وَيُحِبُّ الْعَفُوُ. Allah loves the pardon. وَيُحِبُّ أَنْ يَعْفُوا عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. And He loves to pardon His servants. And He loves for His servants to pardon and forgive one another. Look what He says then. And here comes the catch. فَإِذَا عَفَى بَعْضُهُمْ عَنْ بَعْضٍ عَامَلَهُمْ بِعَفْوِهِ. If they pardon one another, only then Allah will pardon them. And this falls in line with when the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِرْحَمُوا تُرْحَمُوا إِغْفِرُوا يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Have mercy on the people and only then Allah will have mercy upon you. Jawab is shart. Forgive and pardon the people, only then Allah will pardon you. When I think Ramadan, my beloved brothers and sisters, I think al-afu, pardoning and forgiving one another. And it's not easy, but the Prophet ﷺ said, وَخَيْرُهُمَ الَّذِي يَبْدَعُ بِالسَّلَامِ. The best of the two is the one who starts with the salam. Wallahi, is not worth going to your grave with a grudge in your heart. And you're carrying all of these sicknesses inside of your heart. That heaviness on your shoulders. And then see how you feel the moment you pick up that phone. And you call that person who may have wronged you. You say, you know what? Let's forgive, forget. You feel that he's wronged you. And you will only increase in honor in his eyes. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ. Never does an individual pardon another except that he will increase in عِزَّةٍ. Honor and might, and you'll be respected even more. And perhaps that individual will become one of the most compassionate friends, as Allah mentioned in the Quran, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. فَاءُ الْفُجَائِيَةِ. This fa' here is called that, the unexpected fa'. When you repel evil with good, unexpectedly you will see, suddenly this person now becoming a compassionate friend. Wallahi. Even he'll feel extremely embarrassed for what he may have done for you. And you just act like nothing happened. Pardoning is one thing. Erasing it completely as if nothing happened, that's called safh. وَلْيَعْفُ وَلْيَصْفَحُ. Which means to treat that individual as if nothing happened. Wallahi, brothers, the moment you put that phone down, after having made that phone call, see how you feel. And it's not easy. Walakin, the reward is great. And we want to be forgiven and pardoned in this month. So, let's start with that. Number five, sitting with the righteous. One of my favorite statements when I speak about this topic is a statement of Ahmed ibn Harb when he said, عَبَدْتُ اللَّهَ خَمْسِينَ سَنَّةً فَمَا وَجَدْتُ حَلَاوَةَ الْعِبَادَةِ حَتَّى تَرَكْتُ ثَلَاثَ أَشْيَاءَ. I worshipped Allah for 50 years. I did not taste the sweetness of worship until I left off three things. Common question, right? People ask, I don't feel khushu'ah, I don't feel that sweetness in the salah. Very, very quickly. First one was, تَرَكْتُ رِضَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى قَدَرْتُ نَتَكَلَّمْ بِالْحَقِّ. I left off trying to please the people and I was able to speak the truth. When you're with your crowd and they do things that are wrong and you speak out, what do people normally say to you? Why are you killing the vibe for? Why are you ruining the mood? Sahih? He said, Wallahi, exactly. No. That's exactly what happens, right? But you're being told you will taste the sweetness of worship. Speak out. And what happens when you speak out? It's only a matter of time before they say, this guy, you know what? Don't even call him anymore. Now what was the second point? تَرَكْتُ صُحْبَةَ الْفَاسِقِينَ حَتَّى وَجَدْتُ صُحْبَةَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Second thing is, I left off hanging around with a bad crowd and Allah replaced them with a good one. When you speak the truth, you speak out, and you enjoy the good and forbid the evil, it's only a matter of time before they leave you. And you'll be alone. Right? And you might find it difficult for a short space of time. But then Allah replaces them bad friends with what? With good ones. How did it all start? By speaking out. Then what is the third thing? وَتَرَكْتُ حَلَاوَةَ الدُّنْيَا حَتَّى وَجَدْتُ حَلَاوَةَ الْآخِرَةِ. I left off chasing after the dunya and I found the sweetness of the hereafter. When you're hanging around with good people, do they remind you of what C class and S class they get? Or do they remind you of Allah Azza wa Jal? I know some of you guys have C classes, no offense, huh? But somebody hits me with his car with a C class as soon as I walk outside, huh? You're hanging around the right crowd, they remind you of Allah. They're not going to be reminding you of the dunya. And it all originated from what? Speaking out. But of course, you have to do it in a nice way.
Also, Ibn Qayyim says, when you sit with the righteous, six things change for you. Number one, min ash-shakk ila al-yaqeen, from having doubts to certainty. Number two, from being someone who shows off to being sincere. Number three, being someone who's heedless to remembering Allah. Number four, being someone who chases the dunya to chasing the hereafter. Number five, from arrogance to being humble. Number six, from someone who has bad intentions to being someone who's sincere and wanting good for the people. Likewise, when you sit with the people of innovation, it sickens your heart. You're just hearing doubts all the time. Or when you're sitting with enemies of Islam, right? It sickens your heart. That's why you need to go and sit with somebody who is able to remove them doubts then. And we have to stop. Number six is reciting the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla and pondering and reflecting on it. Number seven is beneficial knowledge. And seven, say? Huh? Number eight, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. Number nine, having good thoughts of the people. Allahi, really, really does. Ibn Qayyim says, من حمل الناس المحامل الطيبة وأحسن الظن بهم. Whoever makes it a habit to give the people the benefit of the doubt and he has good thoughts of them, سلمت نيته وانشرح صدره وعوفي قلبه. This person will have pure intentions, he will be at peace, and his heart will be treated, and Allah will give him all types of good just for having good thoughts of the people. Right. And a lot of disputes, when you think about it, a lot of it stems off from what? Having bad, evil thoughts of others. The scholars, they say, if it wasn't just for this point, right, that you benefit from having good thoughts of the people, then it would have been sufficient. What is this point? The fact that you're able to go to sleep at peace. And that is because your mind is void of these bad thoughts that you have of others. If that was the only thing you took away from just having good thoughts of the people. Because when you're having bad thoughts of the people, you're constantly, oh, this, what do you do? Thinking about it. And it makes you sick. As opposed to if you call him up, Akhi, look, I have these bad thoughts of you. Let's sit down about it. I feel like you've done this and you've done that. And he'll explain. The poet, he says, تَأَنِّي وَلَا تَعْجَلْ بِلَوْمِكَ صَاحِبًا لَعَلَّ لَهُ عُذْرٌ وَأَنْتَ تَلُومُ. Take it easy. Do not be hasty in placing blame on your brother. Perhaps he might have an excuse while you are placing blame on him. Right? Sometimes one phone call can change everything. Right? Number 10, loving to be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One should really have times in his day where he is just disconnected from everyone. And I know I said everyone, but also your phone. Because that's become a someone now as well. Or maybe more than a someone. Or maybe even more than everybody. Sahih? Because it gives you everybody and it gives you others than that as well. It's not just people that you're meeting on your phone. So many other distractions. It's being alone, just you and your Lord. One of those is going to be under the shade of Allah the day when there's no shade except His is. A man who is alone and then his eyes began to shed tears. Right? And this brings about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just away from everyone, sit in your car 4 or 5 minutes, just contemplate and reflect on your own shortcomings. How many is that? اختلف العلماء إلى قولين. Scholars have differed and taken two views. 9 or 10? 10. طيب. Number 11, reading the seerah.
Ibn al-Jawzi said it's just not enough for you to learn hadith and fiqh.
He says, رأيت الاشتغال بالفقه وسماع الحديث لا يكاد يكفي في إيش؟ في معالجة القلب.
He says, it's just not enough. You have to mix it with reading up the lives of the righteous of the past.
That's 11, صحيح. Number 12,
being humble in front of the creation, lowering your wing for them.
Number 13,
spending time with the aytam, the orphans, wiping their heads like that.
As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said,
إِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَنْ يَلِينَ قَلْبُكَ, if you want your heart to become soft, فَأَطْعِمِ الْمَسَاكِينَ, feed the poor, وَمْسَحْ رَأْسَ الْيَتِيمِ, and also wipe the head of an orphan.
Number 14, صحيح؟
الصلاة على النبي, sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Number 15,
Al-Ikhlas, being sincere. In one of the acts of worship that you do, always checking your intentions before, at the time when you're doing that act of worship, and then after you finish as well. Questioning it, was I really sincere, was I not? That's 15. I've never mentioned the 15 in one sitting. I know we rushed it, but alhamdulillah, we managed to get through it. At least now you kind of have an idea. If I'm feeling, if my heart is feeling very heavy, what is it maybe that I could do to really soften it up? Right? الآن حصحص الحق. Truth has become apparent. صحيح؟ Inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا وأحسن الله إليكم. والله, it's always a pleasure. مسجد غرباء. Coming to Luton Islamic Center. Seeing all of these. الوجوه مبشرة. Glad tidings and good glowing faces. May Allah honor every single one of you. May Allah reward the sisters as well. Normally there's more sisters than brothers that attend. MashaAllah, there's a lot here. I'm assuming there's more sisters as well. جزاكم الله خيرا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. I think everyone's tired, so we won't do a Q&A. I think I went well over the time. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers, for attending again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.